This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron assemble and bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Track records of making quarterbacks better. The evidence does not point to the coaching failing Carson Wentz. It just doesn't. When you look at Marty and Doug and the fact that, you know, they have been instrumental in guys succeeding like Donovan and Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson and Nick Foles, you know, these are our coaches that have track records of not making quarterbacks worse, but making quarterbacks exponentially better. And I thought it was interesting to hear Jalen Hurts this week talk about his relationship with Marty Mornhinweg. I haven't heard Carson talk about Marty Mornhinweg once. I've never heard Carson mention his name. You know, because apparently the guy Carson likes to work with is Press Taylor. And that's the guy he works with. And I don't know how much he's talking to Marty and how much he's working with Marty. But it seems to me that would be a good guy for Carson to spend time with. Considering, you know, the track record of success that he has over the years with Donovan and Vic and Lamar Jackson and you know, the evidence doesn't point to the coaches on this staff being bad with quarterbacks. The evidence points to the fact the coaches on this staff have made quarterbacks better, and that's why those guys are here. For some reason, it hasn't happened with Carson the way it's happened with other guys that have been coached by especially Doug and Marty. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, Joe, Steve, you guys will be first. Right after the break, and then you want to know whether you feel it's in the best interest of the Eagles to win this game and what you want to see happen. Also, I want your memories of that Eagles-Giants game 10 years ago yesterday, the DeSean Jackson punt return. What an unbelievable moment. So we're discussing that. We'll continue to take your calls. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you till 6. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Heading into a Sunday of football, coming off a good Saturday of football, both college and pros. As I mentioned, the Bills beat up on Denver. They win the AFC East. We'll get to that later on in our Week 15 preview slash recap, I guess, because we'll recap the Saturday games as well. And also the Packers held on late to beat the Panthers 24-16, but also a big day in college. Alabama beats Florida 52-46, kind of ending Florida's hopes in the SEC championship game. I was watching most of the Packer game, so I didn't see a lot of that one. But it's just so predictable that Notre Dame is a massive fraud again. It's every single season. This team is overrated. And I know most people, I guess, would think, well, Tom, you're Irish. You should like Notre Dame. I can't stand Notre Dame. I can't stand their fans. I can't stand the people who think Notre Dame is some highly heralded football school. They haven't been relevant, truly relevant, in 30 years. Nobody gives a damn about Notre Dame. They're never any good. They're always overranked. Everybody in their... Clemson was the easiest bet in the world. In the world on Saturday. I mean, and Clemson's great. Trevor Lawrence is phenomenal. Notre Dame sucks. And Notre Dame always sucks. And if you're a Notre Dame fan who, and I actually got a, this actually reminds me, I got to text my friend's wife, who's one of these annoying Notre Dame fans. So, Bryn, if you're listening, Notre Dame got their asses kicked again on Saturday. They suck. Dan, how do you feel about Notre Dame? Are you a Notre Dame fan?
I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I'm certainly don't have the same strong feelings that you do.
No.
I do find it kind of funny. Like the Notre Dame people ride their high horse.
Can't stand them.
It's the football equivalent of like the Duke people. Like they're just the worst.
Right.
But the difference is Duke's.
Duke's actually good.
Not this year necessarily.
But they usually
are. But they usually are pretty good. Notre Dame, they're so prestigious, they don't even usually have a conference this year. They played an ACC schedule. And you're right, it came down to a conference championship, and they got their ass handed to them.
And how about, you mentioned Duke, how about Coach K doing the Coach K thing now that they're not very good, oh, maybe we shouldn't be playing.
How's his back feeling?
He did this last year. This is exactly what he did last year when remember Duke was the first team to pull out of the tournament when it was clear the tournament wasn't happening? Like, oh, yeah, they're going to pull out of the tournament 3 hours before they announce there is no tournament.
They got a big win the other night, and suddenly the COVID protocols are a little bit safer.
Yeah, real biggie, Coach K. But yeah, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame. If this college football committee puts Notre Dame in the playoff, it's a disgrace. It is an absolute disgrace. They don't belong in the playoff. Ohio State doesn't belong in the playoff. They played five games. This year, they should just say, you know what? There's no point in playing these semifinal games. Just Alabama, Clemson. We already know who the two best teams in the country are. Just make Alabama and Clemson the championship game and call it a day. Seriously. And you can let Notre Dame and Ohio State play each other for the overrated championship of the world. Whatever.
See, I would have gone the other way. Like, every other sport's expanding the playoff field because it's kind of... Like, it's not really Ohio State's fault that some of those games got canceled.
No, they struggle to beat Northwestern.
No, I hear you. I mean, I'm not saying
they play five games.
But I think they have the right to get on the field with them, at least.
I'd rather see a team like Coastal Carolina, who played 11 games. They actually played a season.
What's Ohio State supposed to do?
They played five games against a bunch of teams that stink.
But that's not their fault that they only played five
games. Okay, well, it's unfortunate they can't be in the playoff. They're in the playoff every year.
Well, the Big Ten already finagled the rules so they could get into the Big Ten championship as it is.
Exactly. But they don't belong in the playoff. They didn't do enough. And it's not their... Nobody's at... And it's not fair to anybody this year.
In a usual season, how many teams do you think should make the playoff?
I would do eight. That's what I would do.
So you would open it up to eight. And if you undefeated, you automatically get in. Put some stock in these conference championship games. Temple, I don't believe, was in the AAC when you went there. But I think if you...
They were.
Oh, they were? Okay. So
how old do you think I am, Dan?
Temple's been in the ACC. You mentioned you called your college roommate.
Right,
so
right.
You had to get at least some of the MAC or what they were.
That was actually after I graduated. So they were in the AAC, I think
they've only been there since 2015.
You know what? You're right. They were in the A-10 when I was in school, so I was wrong.
Okay, well,
won't run together.
I don't think you're that old, but you mentioned earlier in the show that you called your college roommate after the Miracle of Meadowlands.
I'm like, no,
the timeline's not there. So if you're going to have that conference, you're going to have a conference championship game. Like, the year UCF went undefeated and then ended up beating Auburn, I think in the Sugar Bowl it was. Like, I think if you win that conference championship game, you have the right to be the eighth seed and lose by 40 to Alabama.
Yeah, but this is a different year, and there is only four.
It's different, but it is only four.
So why does the Ohio State deserve to be in? They beat Penn State, who sucks. They beat Indiana, who, okay, Indiana had a nice year, but we don't even know how good they really are. Their best win was over Penn State. They didn't beat anybody. You didn't beat anybody. You don't deserve to be in.
The biggest win of Michigan's season was canceling the Ohio State game
right.
because of COVID.
Put in Texas A&M. Put in Florida. Florida has, what, two losses? Three losses?
They're better than Ohio State is.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I get worked up. I don't like these fraudulent teams. Put Cincinnati in there. Give Cincinnati.
Yeah, they won the AAC. And I'm not saying it'd be close. But, you know what? Notre Dame wasn't close against Clemson. So, let Alabama kill him by 50 points.
Right. I don't know. I just want to see Alabama and Clemson. We all know that.
That's what it's coming. Nick Saban going to walk right to the playoffs again, get national title. It's not like it's not deserving.
I mean, let's face it. Pretty much every year, you could just put Clemson and Alabama in the championship game, and that could be the champion. Like, most years, that is the championship game.
You got Nick Saban, who had COVID twice and then said it was a false positive so he could get back coaching, and Dabo Swinney, who was it who he said was faking COVID because he was too afraid to play Clemson. So you got two characters in there, but they got the two best programs in college football.
Yeah, it's true. They're all a bunch of jerks, these college coaches. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, what do you want to see happen on Sunday? Eagles, Cardinals. Would you rather them lose for the draft pick, or would you rather lose because it means they'll probably move forward with Carson Wentz? I want to see the Eagles win. I want to see them get to the playoffs. I want to see the Eagles, potentially move forward with Jalen Hurts, because I think if they move forward with Carson, they're firing Doug, and that would be a big mistake. That's just the way I look at it right now with the quarterback situation. Let's go to Joe Merchantville. What's up, Joe?
Hey, I can't actively root for the Eagles to lose. I just can't do it. Even if it makes sense to get a better draft pick, you don't know what that's going to be. So I would much rather root for the Eagles to win, root for Hurts to play well. The idea that there may be some people who are rooting for Hurts to play poorly because they're Wentz fans is absurd. I'm a Wentz fan, but whoever puts on the green jersey, that's who I root for.
Yeah, I look at it the same way, Joe. And you know, I think you have to do that. Like, I was just joking. I didn't really actively root against Sam Bradford, even though I didn't like him. But, you know, I agree that, you know, you can't root against a quarterback just because you like the other guy more.
Especially Hurts. I mean, he's gotten kind of a, you know, from the day they picked him, people were kind of tough on him. It's not his fault. He seems like he's a good guy and probably will do good things in this town. So I would hope that people want him to do well. And I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I agree, Joe. What do you think's going to happen? You think the Eagles can hang in this game with the defense as shorthanded as it is?
Well, I think your analysis is absolutely right. The $80 million defensive line has to win this game.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And you know, this is the Eagles spent a lot of money on that defensive line with, I'd say, mixed results. I think they've been pretty good as a whole. But you're right. In this game, if you're going to win it, your D line has to dominate.
Yeah, they have to win it. One of the previous callers brought up we need to shore up our safety. Didn't we draft a safety that came out of Clemson? Wasn't that this year?
And
who is it? I haven't heard who.
Kayvon Wallace. Kayvon Wallace. He hasn't played a ton. When he's been on the field, he's struggled. And I think part of the thinking as a couple weeks ago they cut Will Parks. Apparently, it was to open up a role for Kayvon Wallace, and he's going to have to play more now because I mean Rodney McLeod, losing him is a massive loss.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, we strongly agree on one and strongly disagree on the other.
Okay,
I'm Irish too, and I don't despise the University of Notre Dame, but their fans remind me of Dallas Cowboy fans, so I hate them.
Because they think it's still like the heyday, like the 80s or mid 90s. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. You know, I don't. They surely couldn't get into Notre Dame. I'm thinking they can spell it, but I'm not sure. I know they couldn't get into the school.
Right.
But I not not in. I'm just not a fan of Notre Dame anymore. But I am an Ohio State graduate, so I'm going to disagree with you on my Buckeyes.
All right, well, that's fine, Joe. I appreciate it, man. Thanks. I don't really appreciate it. I don't really hate Ohio. I mean, I hate Penn State more than anybody. I cannot stand Penn State. Their fans are the absolute worst, and I was kind of ambivalent about Penn State until I went to college, and then I come home over breaks, and my friends that went to Penn State were so annoying, and that bothered me. And then my brother went to Penn State a couple years later, and now I totally can't stand them. I hate Penn State. I have a brother that went there, a sister-in-law that went there, and they are just completely, completely obnoxious about Penn State football. So I don't really hate Ohio State, but I do like to tell my ushering stories from back in the day when I was an usher at the Link. You know, and at Eagles games, you deal with opposing fans. No fans were more obnoxious to deal with than Notre Dame fans. When I, you know, because we didn't have, usually the Temple games were optional. But the staff was shorthanded. Like, they are not used to accommodating full crowds. But the Notre Dame Temple game, which was a great game, by the way, which featured pretty much half the Carolina Panthers roster with PJ Walker and Robbie Anderson and all those guys, no more obnoxious fan base I've dealt with as an usher than Notre Dame.
Ask a Notre Dame fan what their favorite movie is and then have them explain to you why it's Rudy.
I do like Rudy, actually. I do like Rudy.
Oh, you do like Rudy.
I do like Rudy. But you just committed a social media.
I know I did.
Did you do that on purpose?
I did that on purpose.
Wow. That was well done, Dan. Well done.
Show. I listen.
Well done. Because, yeah, that was a social media thing done verbally, which, you know, at least you.
True. Like that specific example.
Yeah.
Like every Notre Dame fan. And people in general just
right.
love Rudy.
I do like Rudy. I got to admit, it's a good movie. It is a good one. 215-592-9494. Steve in Tampa. What's up, Steve?
Hey.
Good morning.
Hello, DK.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Are you all right?
So you were an usher at the ballpark, huh?
What's that?
You said you were an usher at the ballpark?
I was from 2006 to 2015.
Oh, so you saw 2008, huh?
I did see 2008 at the Link, not at Citizens Bank Park. But I was at the game the Phillies won the World Series. So.
Well, you know, the story of the year of obviously down here is the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the ball team made the World Series. Mm. But I think in Philly, I think the changes in the front office of the Phillies. The changes in the front office of the Sixers, I think that's probably one of the top stories because finally ownership decided that we got to make a change. And I don't know if it was the fans or WIP or something else that they finally decided that the way everything was going was unsatisfactory. And I think that's very positive.
Yeah, I generally agree, Steve. I think certainly for the Sixers, I think their moves were positive. I don't dislike Dave Dombrowski, you know, as a GM. I just don't think he's the right fit for the Phillies right now.
But isn't he better than what they had?
Well, yeah, but I mean that's not necessarily the right move just because he's better than what they had.
But it's not it's a move to obviously what I think is to make the team better than. Under the previous administration.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're measuring them up against Klentak and McPhail. I don't think there's much much competition.
Let me ask you a question about the Eagles. New Orleans is the number one seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
How far behind New Orleans is Arizona? I mean, can you compare Arizona to New Orleans?
Well, Arizona, if you're doing it by record, Arizona's 7-6 and New Orleans is 10-2, so or 10-3 now. So I mean Arizona's a fringe playoff team. New Orleans is fighting for home field advantage.
So don't you think, being at what you just said, that the Eagles in beating New Orleans would find it easier to beat Arizona?
Not because the fact that Arizona's offense is much better, especially when last week you were facing Taysom Hill. The difference between Taysom Hill and Kyler Murray is significant.
Okay, I agree with you there.
And the Eagles have injuries in their secondary, like a lot of injuries.
The secondary's been loose, you know.
Yeah, but imagine that without your three best guys in the secondary.
And let me just finally, because I know there's other callers. Does Peterson's job depend solely on the next three games?
I don't think so. I mean, if Jalen Hurts plays really well, certainly think that would help Doug's case. I mean,
I don't think so because I think that Lurie would say, well, why the heck didn't you put him in earlier?
No, I disagree because I think Lurie was part of why he wasn't put in earlier.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That decision, Steve, as much as they say that's Doug's decision, that was not entirely Doug's decision.
You think Lurie got involved in the starting quarterback?
I do. I think Lurie, I believe, really likes Wentz and really wants Wentz to get back to that level, and I think they gave Wentz every opportunity they could before it just became evident they had to pull him.
Do you think that they should have, I mean, the way Wentz performed so bad this year, do you think there's a psychological reason that the Eagles should go to like a psychological doctor, send him to a doctor or something to see psychologically if he's okay from the concussion?
I don't know about that, Steve. I appreciate the call. I don't know how much the concussion plays into it. I mean, but if they say he's fine, I'm going to take it as face value that he's fine. And, you know, and for all the talk about the Hurts pick, if that's something that really bothers them that much, then you're not a franchise quarterback. Like, you're just not. If that's something that's really going to force you to fall apart to the point where you can't play anymore, then I hate to be the toughness guy, but then you're not tough enough to be the guy. You know, if that's something that really bothers you, that you can't recover from, that's not the kind of guy I want as a franchise quarterback. You look at how other quarterbacks have reacted in these types of situations. Aaron Rodgers gets a first-round quarterback drafted after him. What does he do? He comes out and he has his best year ever. Look back to when Aaron Rodgers was drafted. Brett Favre would not let Aaron Rodgers get on the field. They had to trade him because he took them to a championship game, and then Green Bay did the right thing by getting rid of him. But that's how you want your quarterback to respond. Patriots draft Garoppolo. Brady has pretty much an entire another Hall of Fame career after that. You look at a number of quarterbacks. Look at Donovan. Kevin Cobb gets drafted. Donovan ends up keeping him on the bench for a couple years. If a team drafting a quarterback behind you crushes you instead of motivates you, and that's the way you view it, I think that's a huge problem. And when we get back, I do want to play a cut from Dan Orlovsky talking about that and how Carson Wentz may feel about how the organization has treated him. That's coming up next. Also, I see Mike, Steve. We'll get to you guys as well. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have our Week 15 NFL preview / recap. A couple games on Saturday. I love when the Saturday games start. I wish there were Saturday games every weekend, all year long, at least a couple. So we'll get to that a little later on. In the 4 o'clock hour as well, I have an NBA season preview that we'll do with the season getting started this week. I can't wait, not just for the Sixers, but the entire league. I'm really excited to see what happens this year. I think there are a lot of interesting teams, so we will do that in the 4 o'clock hour. But real quick before we get back to the phones, we'll get to Mike in a second here. But, you know, we talk about the Carson Wentz situation, and this story came out on Thursday after I got off the air. And I was, you know, I do the overnight, I go home, listen to a little morning show, you know, go to sleep. I wake up in the afternoon and I see this report, and I just, like, can't believe it when I see it, is what was reported by ESPN's Dan Orlovsky. And I don't know how many times I got to say I like Dan Orlovsky. I like, you know, him as an analyst. But, you know, he's making himself look foolish at this point with the over defenses of Carson Wentz. And it's like, if you know, you got to call it down the middle. And hey, you know, if you like a guy, I get it. I get you like him. I get that, you know, you don't want your opinion shown to be wrong. I mean, I'm in that situation frequently where my opinion, some of them are right, some of them are wrong, and who knows? But, you know, when I'm wrong, I try to own up to it and admit it. But, you know, these kind of excuses that have been made for Carson Wentz are just getting insane. And the one this week that Dan Orlovsky said, and this is apparently people who have been around Carson Wentz are telling him this. Here is Dan Orlovsky and what he reported as far as Carson Wentz and the Eagles organization.
A lot of people think, listen, a lot of people think that there's a lot of a built-up animosity between him and that organization in Philly. I think a lot of people think that he misses Frank Reich as a human more than just a play caller. I think a lot of people feel that Carson Wentz feels betrayed, and the only person in the NFL that he trusts is Frank Reich.
Now, I have a few questions here. Like, how has Carson Wentz been betrayed? And the part that doesn't make sense at all, you know, because Orlovsky says he's not hearing that he's betrayed by the Jalen Hurts pick. He somehow feels betrayed that Frank Reich's not in Philadelphia. The Eagles didn't fire Frank Reich. Like, the Eagles didn't get rid of Frank Reich. This is the NFL. Josh McDaniels backed out of a job. Frank Reich took that job. How is that the Eagles' fault? Like, how is that anybody's fault? Frank Reich got offered a head coaching position. Frank Reich took the head coaching position. That is nobody's fault. That this is the NFL. You're going to have coaches that come and go. And I just am just baffled. I'm absolutely baffled by the reports and all this stuff about the Eagles betrayed Carson and the Eagles haven't done right by Carson. And I really don't want to do this or just bashing Carson all the time. But he is making a situation that has gone badly worse. And because you can say, oh, well, this isn't, you know, he's not saying this. Why do you think this is getting out there to Dan Orlovsky? Seriously. Why, like, Dan Orlovsky, I'll say this. I don't think he's just making this stuff up. He is being used as a mouthpiece from Carson Wentz's camp to get out information that they want out there. I mean, it's clear that Dan Orlovsky is tied in closely with Carson Wentz's group of people, whoever they are. But the idea that the Eagles betrayed him, by what, drafting Jalen Hurts? After 2018, after, for the second consecutive year, his backup had more success than he had. Two straight years. Nick Foles wins Super Bowl in 2017. 2018. Carson Wentz has a below average, I would say, average at best season. The team's 6-7. Nick Foles wins, he takes them on a run at the end of the year, wins a playoff game, and, you know, takes that team to a level they were not playing at with Carson Wentz. What did they do? They traded Nick Foles, who had they could have kept as an insurance policy, gave Carson Wentz a massive contract, came back in 2019, you know, brought back his buddy Jason Peters 2 years in a row, who we know Carson Wentz loves Jason Peters. Drafted a rookie receiver in the first round this year. Granted, they could have drafted another one, certainly. They may have had the wrong evaluation, but they've tried to put weapons around him. You know, tried drafting players that would help him. In what way have they betrayed him? And it just is insane to me, this continual thought process that the Eagles are doing wrong by Carson Wentz. They drafted another quarterback. Why don't you use that as motivation and go out and play better? Go out and play like an MVP and prove to them why it's a bad pick. Because the only thing that's been proven to me, at least at this point, is that it's a good pick. Is that the pick makes more sense to me now than it did at the time. And that maybe the Eagles organization saw something that we didn't see from the outside. Whether it is his practice habits, which there have been reports this year that his practice habits aren't great. And that the mistakes he makes in practice, be it mechanically or mentally, are showing up in the games. Be it, you know, the fact that he can't get on the right page with his receivers. The fact that he holds the ball too long. Like, he hasn't improved. That's not on the organization. And these constant excuses that are made, I've never seen a player. It is a weird, weird phenomenon. I've never seen a player have his poor play excused to the point Carson Wentz has. And for a large portion of the fan base out there, it's accepted as fact. And I just don't get it. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Mike in Havertown. What's up, Mike?
Tommy, what's up, brother? How
what's
are
going
you?
On? Good. How are you?
Nothing. So I've been listening to what you've been saying all night. I'm just surprised, man, for as plugged in a fan base and a smarter fan base as we claim to be. You know, you have so many people advocating for the Eagles to win out. It makes absolutely no sense, and I just don't understand it. I never want the Eagles to lose. I never would root for them to lose. But in this specific scenario, you kind of have to look at it like short-term pain for long-term gain type of deal. Winning out is going to do nothing for this team. We can probably both agree on the fact they're not going to the Super Bowl this year, correct?
Yeah, I think we can agree
okay.
on that.
So you want to look at it like that in terms next year. They should be trying to be competitive for next year. That's my whole thing. Them winning out, going 7-8-1, and then losing in the first round to Seattle or Tampa Bay, because that's probably who they'd end up pulling, and it's not going to happen. So there is, in my mind, there's absolutely no point for them to win out. I understand the whole experience thing for Jalen Hurts, and oh, you know, the Eagles luck, they'll win out, not even make the playoffs, and they'll be stuck with a mid-16-18 first-round draft pick, and they'll lose out on all the top receivers.
Well, yeah, that would be the worst-case scenario, but I'll say this. This is my argument more than anything, Mike. And, yeah, I would like the fun of a run and all that stuff, but I think we are heading to a point at the end of the season where they're going to have to choose between the coach and the quarterback. And if they lose, I think they are much more in line to choose the quarterback and get rid of the coach, and I think that would be a really big mistake.
Yeah, I just think what they've done this year is they're going to sit Carson down and they're going to try to rehab him and fix him next year. Obviously, they want to see what they have in Hurts, but their main objective, they can't do anything with Wentz for at least another year, maybe two. So my whole objective would be let's surround this guy with as much talent as possible. I want Ja'Marr Chase in an Eagles uniform no matter what they have to do to get there. And I understand I don't want the Eagles to lose, but for the long-term success of this team, I try to take the longest view in the room and look at it like, you know what, for them to be successful next year, having Ja'Marr Chase or even Devontae Smith, I don't know if he saw the SEC championship game, he had 15 catches for 190 yards, 2 touchdowns, he's a stud. Either one of those two guys will look phenomenal in an Eagles uniform. Finishing 7-8-1 and making the playoffs and getting bounced does absolutely nothing for me. I'm sorry.
No, I get it, Mike. And, you know, where do you fall on Doug, though? Like, if losing out means getting rid of Doug to fix Carson, is that something you're on board with?
I mean, you know what? I don't think that it would be even a foregone conclusion that they would get rid of him. I mean, I think they would make some changes. That's another reason why I wouldn't want them to win out, because I think if anything, Jeffrey Lurie would be like, oh, well, you know what? Well, COVID, it's a weird year. And you know what? We did finish on a high note. So I think Doug is going to get one more year regardless. I hope that he would move on from Howie, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they're just going to get rid of Doug and stick with Carson. I just don't see that happening, but I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Mike, and thanks for the call. Yeah, take it easy. That's a well-reasoned approach. And from that perspective, I get the idea of wanting the draft pick. I do understand that. It's just, you know, maybe I'm too much of a fan sometimes. I think it has deeper implications than that, though. Like, yeah, I do like the idea of going on a playoff run, but maybe I'm reading it wrong. I don't see how you can come back with Doug and Carson. Like, I just don't. I don't see how, when you have this much evidence, that it's just not working with these two. I mean, Doug, the numbers speak for themselves. He's 11-2 with other quarterbacks. Like, that, and say they do have success down the stretch here, you're looking at possibly 14-2 with other quarterbacks. And we're not talking about elite-level quarterbacks. We're talking about Nick Foles and Jalen Hurts making his first career start. So that's what worries me. What worries me about losing, more than anything, is that it's going to lead them to fire Doug. And, as you know, I think, obviously, head coach and quarterback are the two most important things you can have in an organization. Obviously, the GM makes important decisions, and you got to find a way to make the front office function better. But firing Doug, I just look at as being a massive, massive mistake. And if the Eagles were to choose Carson over Doug, I think that's a mistake they'd be making. Let's go to Butch and Manionk. What's up, Butch?
Hey, what's happening?
What's going on? Okay. What's up, Butch?
I don't agree with that guy, Mike. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm 7 years old. I ain't waiting for tomorrow. I don't know when tomorrow is. I want to win right now. And another part about it, he's all wet, is if we win and we get in the playoffs, that means Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback because he's probably won 3 games in a row. I want this guy to get a playoff game under his belt. I want Baum. I want some of these young players to get a playoff game under their belt. What the hell do you mean you don't want to win the next year? And check this out, TK. I'm wondering about this. Let's say theoretically the Eagles end up winning 5 games and they win the division. Now, if they win the division with only 5 games, where does that put them in the playoff order? In other words, do they go behind the teams that win 4 games? Or if they're in the playoffs, even though they only won 5 games, do they get a lesser pick?
No, they go, yeah, that's the problem, Butch. They go all the way up to, like, where the playoff teams are. So they'd be at the bottom of the playoff team. So they'd probably pick around, like, 18, I guess, would be their pick. Something like that.
Okay, well, he's got a good point there, but I still don't like the idea of not giving the guy. I mean, the biggest thing is getting a playoff game and really experience the height of what football is. You know what I mean, TK?
No, I hear you, Butch.
And for you to just go up a couple of picks to not get these guys the experience, I don't think it's worth its weight.
Yeah. Well, Butch, I got to ask you. I haven't been in the morning show in a while. Are you still doing your workouts on the bridge out there?
No, I'm kind of done that, TK. I'm in the weightlifting in the winter because it gets a little cold. You know, it's a little cold in the winter to ride the bicycle, so I stay in and do my weightlifting regime then.
There you go. All right, Butch. Well, I appreciate it, man.
Another thing,
yeah,
TK.
Sure.
Maybe people think I'm crazy. I sent a Gmail to Angela. What do you think about this?
What?
Do you think you could get a first-round pick for Jalen Hurts and a first-round pick for Carson Wentz?
Trade both of them? Who's your quarterback?
Huh?
Who's your quarterback?
Bingo. Here's where my ingenious idea comes on.
All right.
Carson Wentz, you get a first-round pick. Jalen Hurts, you get a first-round pick, especially if he plays good. You take them two plus your first two, you go talk to Joe Douglas, that's the head of the Jets. You say, hey, Joe, any way you don't want to take this kid from Clemson?
There's no way.
I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at you. I'm going to start a whole new ball. I'm going to get rid of both of them. I'm going to get rid of the cornerback controversy.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in with Trevor Lawrence, a whole new quarterback.
Yeah, Butch, that ain't happening. I appreciate the call, Butch. There is no chance. No chance. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, and I'm not going over the top or exaggerating when I say this, he's the best college quarterback I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen a prospect that, like, Trevor Lawrence is already a top 10 quarterback in the world. Like, he is. He's that good. He's the way he stands in there, People don't understand that he's a way better runner than people believe he is. His deep ball is beautiful. Obviously, he's playing in a system that's conducive to success at Clemson. But the only guy I can think of that I thought this highly of coming out was like Andrew Luck. But Trevor Lawrence is incredible. He's a beast.
I wanted to hear what Butch. So, in which scenario the Jets are taking Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz in this scenario?
I don't know.
They tanked this whole season. I think take Hurts instead.
Well, I think he's talking about trading Hurts and Wentz, the two separate teams, and then packaging all these ones.
So those two ones
and whatever one the Eagles have
to get Trevor Lawrence,
like five ones. I mean, I would consider trading a lot of ones for Trevor Lawrence. I just don't think the Jets. They're losing these games for a reason. They won Trevor Lawrence.
You know, everyone turns into Mel Kiper Jr. this time of year. I agree with you on Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's a stud. But in terms of what that other guy was saying, in terms of, oh, we got to get this pick to get Jamar Chase or whoever else.
Right.
But if the Eagles win tomorrow and Seattle wins, like, everyone's going to be all in.
Yeah. Yeah, people will be excited about it. 215-592-9494. We got the Week 15 preview coming up at the top of the hour. Real quick in the next segment, though, I do want to give you my take on where things stand on the James Harden situation with the Sixers, those rumors. That's coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. With you till 6. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Talked a lot of Eagles tonight. I do want to give you my take before we get to the weekly preview here of all the games in the NFL on what's going on with the Sixers. As it was earlier this week, reports surfaced of the Sixers making Ben Simmons available in trade talks for James Harden. And, you know, I see a lot of people freaking out over this one way or another, especially the people who don't want to trade Ben. This shouldn't be surprising to anybody. You know, if there's any conversations going on in regards to James Harden, and of course there would be. I mean, this Daryl Morey wouldn't be doing his job if he wasn't at least exploring this. And any conversation about acquiring James Harden is going to include Ben Simmons, and to think anything otherwise, you'd be being naive here. And first off, you know, let's hear from Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers was asked about this the other night. Here was Doc Rivers when asked about the rumors that are out there.
Well, you're not hearing them from us, you know, so as long as you don't hear them from us, you should be very comfortable. We like our team, man. I tell you, that team I just watched out there is pretty special. And so, you know, those rumors, none are coming from us.
And, you know, not surprising. What do you expect the coach to say? Yeah, we're shopping. We're talking about Ben Simmons. Of course, they're not going to say that. And of course, Daryl Morey tweets out a denial and all of that stuff. But what I'll tell you is that there are certain reporters in every sport where then when they report something, you know, you can kind of take it as fact. In the NFL, you know, Schefter, Rappaport, these guys are usually right. Baseball, you know, Passan, you know, he's usually on point with his stuff. And in the NBA, when Shams and Woj are both reporting the same thing, I doubt they're wrong. They're very rarely wrong on anything, let alone when they're reporting the same thing. So, yeah, I'd imagine Ben Simmons has been mentioned in trade talks in regards to James Harden. But, you know, right now, the Sixers hold, in my mind, all the leverage. And the Sixers are negotiating in a real position of power here. And I'll elaborate on this in a minute, but if you remember, and this is funny that this is coming from this guy, because if you remember a few years ago when the Sixers took on the Nets in the playoffs, we ended up developing, hatred's probably strong, but a dislike for Jared Dudley, who Jared Dudley is a nothing player in the NBA. He got a ring last year with the Lakers, sitting on their bench. Good for him, but he was with the Nets, and remember, you know, going into, I think, game 3 of that series, he said something like, you know, Ben's not a threat because he can't shoot, and then Ben had like the best playoff game of his career while Jared Dudley did nothing. And you know, Jared Dudley in general is not a consequential player, but I thought Jared Dudley was right on with his analysis of the situation. Here was Jared Dudley on the rumors of James Harden for Ben Simmons.
Houston is going to fall off after James Harden gets traded here in the next 10 days. He can only go to Philly. There's nowhere else. Philly has Ben Simmons. And James Harden, unlike other superstars, not being the most professional, not being there, out of different places, it's a bad look. And when you can get an all-star with potential superstar capability in Ben Simmons, you got to take it. It'll happen. It's only a matter of when.
And, you know, he says it'll happen. It's only a matter of when. And it may. I think from the Rockets' perspective, it will. But he's right on where, you know, this is a situation where the Sixers are in a position of leverage. Because as Dudley said, the Rockets are not getting a better player back in any offer than Ben Simmons. You know, depending on what you think of Tyler Hero, whether you think what he did in the bubble was sustainable or not, you know, that's probably the next best level of player you're getting in return. But of all the teams that are out there and all the teams that have things to offer, you're not getting a better player than Ben Simmons. Like, I know James Harden initially wanted to go to Brooklyn. The best player you're getting in return is Caris LeVert. Now, if I was Brooklyn, I'd trade Kyrie for James Harden and call it a day. But, you know, they're not going to do that. You're not getting a better player in any deal than you are for Ben Simmons. And doesn't, you know, benefit the Sixers, or I won't say benefit because you could trade and get James Harden and that's that, but the Sixers have the luxury of waiting and seeing what their team looks like, because the Sixers should not be thinking too much about the future here, because Joel Embiid's contract expires sooner than we all, you know. You look into the future and you think Joel's going to be here forever. His contract's up in 3 years. And that's not that long of a period. You don't want to waste a year. If you don't think you can win a championship this year with Ben Simmons, then you make the deal. But you have the luxury to wait. I think you wait 6 to 8 weeks. You see what your team looks like. Because who knows? We could look up February 15th or whatever, and the Sixers could have the best record in the Eastern Conference. Is that likely to happen? Probably not. Is Ben Simmons likely to make that kind of a massive leap the first couple months of this season? Probably not, but who knows with these guys surrounded by players who, you know, are going to benefit their games more, maybe he could. And the Rockets don't have anywhere else to turn. Why do you think these reports are coming out? Because the Rockets want to get it out, because the Rockets want this trade to happen as soon as possible. They don't have any leverage here. James Harden's going to get moved. If the Sixers want him, the Sixers will get him, whether it happens now or whether it happens in 6 to 8 weeks. But, you know, the Sixers should be pushing to win the championship this year. But there's no harm in waiting and seeing if you can do it with Ben Simmons first, because that would position you better, not just for now, but also in the future. 215-592-9494. My apologies. Next up, we'll do our week 15 NFL picks. We'll also recap the games that have already happened so far this year, but we will preview this week coming up in the league. That's coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.